11-day spiritual retreat, Capo, California, daily lectures. Lecture for today, being comfortable with my personal finances. This is lecture number 9, and this is July 7th. Don't you just like all those numbers? Aren't they fascinating? Okay. Being comfortable with my personal finances. Yes. We are all interested in finances. We're all interested in our personal finances. I am independently wealthy. That's a personal finance. What does it mean to be comfortable, being comfortable with my personal finances? That means that no matter what I choose to do, in other words, money is not an object. Money is of no consequence. Can you understand that phrase? Money is of no consequence. In other words, I'm not staying away because of the money. I'm not coming because of the money. I'm not taking my trip around the world because of the money, or I'm not taking it because of the money. I am not getting married because I'm marrying a rich girl, or I'm not getting married because I don't have much money. Money is of no consequence. You see? Now, theoretically, you can say health is of no consequence. Are you going to town today? Now, do you have enough health to go to town? You know? You don't say that. Yeah. I am going to go and go dancing tonight with my friends. Do you have enough health to go dancing? You know, is your health in good enough shape to go dancing? Well, of course it is. Why does it even be questioned? Well, because you're 107 years old, you know. Well, what have I been doing for the 107 years? I've been going dancing every Saturday night. And I've danced up a storm, and I've just had a good time. Why should health be of consequence now? And what's it on your mind, you know? Well, what's in your problem? So, hey, no, health is of no consequence, you know? I'm going to take a trip, and I'm going to New York, and I'm going to spider school. And I'm going to learn how to walk up the face of buildings like a spider. Hoo-wee, I tell you, you're 107, you're going to walk up the buildings like a spider. But hey, I just got done taking a course at Yosemite National Park on how to climb straight up mountains. You know, I went right up the face of the mountain, just as slick as you can whistle, and I knew what I was doing. But now I want to go be like a spider and do it even better. And then you know what I'm going to do the next week? I mean, when you are 110, yeah, I'm going to go and take the school for being a clown. Being a clown? I mean, you're ready for having people amuse you. No way. The day that I stop being who I am, the day I stop living in my perfect healthy body, my perfect healthy attitude, my perfect healthy world, then yes, I probably will need some. But if I do that, then I'm going to take off for another dimension. Definitely, definitely move along. Okay, now. So we say nothing about our health. That has nothing to do with whatever we're doing. What do we say about? We say about our money?
I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently healthy.
I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently healthy. That's not bad, huh? You think we should buy that? Okay. Now, what about, are you a woman? You're a woman. You cannot go climbing mountains. No way. You're a woman. What's a woman got to do with it? If women wanted to, and wanted to have such perilous games, they would probably be far better than men at them, because women know how to hug. And they would just hug the mountain and just snuggle right up the mountain and do it like no problem at all. Can you understand that?
Good.
Can you understand that?
Yeah.
And isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? Now, yeah. Who would ever think of saying something like that? So, just God. But anyhow, this is what it's all about. Now, being comfortable with my personal finances. So, why would I not be comfortable with my personal finances? Have you been living every day of your life, or have you been dead? You've been living. Have you been eating every day of your life? Most of the time. Except when I fasted, or when I ran out of money and I fasted, but whatever. I didn't starve. I didn't hurt. Have you had enough clothes to wear? Yeah. Well, you got a closet full of clothes, and I got shoes and all that good stuff. Do you have a house? Yeah. We got six houses, you know. Six houses and one, two, three, four retreats, you know. Four retreats. My goodness sake, how can you live in all those houses? We don't. We live in the houses that we can live in and enjoy it. How dare you have a house that you don't live in? It just says it. Well, when we have retreats, when we have people come up, they can stay in those houses. They're there. Well, you, they're beautiful houses, and you're not using them. Shame on you. Hey, they're my houses. You go get your houses. Have you ever wondered why people like Bill Gates, and Bill Gates doesn't, I don't know that he fits this picture, but let's say Mr. Rockefeller. Mr. Rockefeller, he has a house in New York, a mansion, you know, 200 rooms and servants and all that stuff, all there, all the time. And he has a mansion in Florida because he likes to go to Florida. And it's right on the ocean with about 100 rooms. You know, he doesn't want too many rooms because he gets too many guests in. But he's got a full staff working there. And then he likes to go hunting up in the North Country in Canada. And so up in Vancouver, he's got a beautiful mansion log cabin with 70 rooms and a full staff on duty all the time. Now, he is an aficionado of the Japanese culture. And so he has a beautiful home in Japan, right in Tokyo, right on the bay. Very exclusive, luxurious, and fantastic. And a house all by itself surrounded by skyscrapers. You know what that's worth, I'll tell you. So... But he's got a staff of people working for him there. Now, he's got others in Paris, in Monaco, and wherever. You name the places. And in Nigeria, of course. And he's got these beautiful, wonderful castles, these beautiful, wonderful places. Now, how can he have all those places and not live in them and have them fully staffed and fully maintained? Water and heating and all that good stuff. The swimming pool is always pure. If he came there, he could dive right in. It'd be perfect. They wouldn't have to prepare it for him. It's perfect. Now, that's a consciousness, isn't it? That's a consciousness, first, that money is of no account. And second, whatever he has is of no account. If he wants it, he has it. If he wants a Mercedes, he has a Mercedes. If he thinks, well, you know, I like this new Rolls Royce. I think that's rather nice. But I like that when I go to town. So, but I want a jazzy job. I want maybe the Jaguar or maybe some Porsche or some other beautiful car. And he's got, look at Jay Leno. You know Jay Leno? Jay Leno is the craziest man on earth. He has the Tonight Show and is very successful. He's always been very successful, very wealthy. He's a very excellent stand-up comic. And he's just very good. But he has a love for cars. And he has a garage in wherever he lives, Beverly Hills or Malibu or wherever it is, a garage that has, 500 cars in it? 500 cars? And he likes the older cars the better, but they're in perfect condition. He maintains them in perfect. Well, when does he drive them? Then he is now working, I think he probably bought Practical Builder, Practical Mechanics magazine, and he's featured in there every month with him and his new cars and him. And he's out at the racetrack in Salt Lake City, you know, out on the what is the name of it?
The Salt Flats.
He's out on the Salt Flats running fast and driving his cars at tremendous speeds. And my gosh, he's jeopardizing his life. No, he isn't. He's living his life. There's no jeopardy to be done. He is never hurting. He lives in all these places. Now, you say, well, he shouldn't have all those houses. We haven't mentioned his houses, but his cars. He shouldn't have all his cars because when is he going to use them? You know, and what good is it for him to have? It pleases him. Some people collect marbles, remember? Some people collect, what do they call those little dolls you have in Germany? You know,
Barbie?
No, Germany.
Oh, Hummel.
The Hummels. Yeah. Yeah, the Barbies is American. And of course, all over the world, kids collect that. But the Hummels, and the people who make the Hummels, they make big prices on them, and they make them tremendously expensive. And people don't mind. They want a Hummel. It's got a Hummel name on it, you know. And they're very happy. And they set it in their closet, and they put it behind glass, and they don't let the kids touch it. They don't let anybody touch it, you know. All these toys, these little Hummel dolls, and nobody can play with it. Well, you see, when you have your consciousness in order in various areas of your life, you have everything. They don't think of needing more Hummels. They just buy them because they're there and because they like to buy Hummels. They just buy Jay Leno cars because he likes to buy cars, the old ones that he can remake into beautiful new old ones. And he doesn't need to. The Rockefellers don't need to have homes in every country in the world. But whenever they choose to go there, you know, they're busy with their businesses and with their activities and things like that. But they don't think of it. See, that belongs to them. That's natural. That's part of it. You're healthy, so you're going to take a swim. You're healthy, and so here's Sybil. She now turned 203. 203. And Sybil says, let's see, what haven't I done yet? I haven't swum the English Channel. So I'm going to go with my sisters and my kids and so forth, and I'm going to swim the English Channel. And they're going to take their car and drive through the tunnel and meet me on the other side. You know, they don't feel like swimming it or taking a boat, you know. And so I'm going to swim it. And it's a little brisk and a little wavy and so forth, but I'm going to swim it. But you're 302 years old, my goodness, or whatever I said. You know, you're an old lady. Hey, you should be such an old lady like I am. Ha, 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 ha. You should be so rich, you should be so happy, you should be so healthy, you should be so wonderful like I am, because that's my consciousness, that's who I am. You understand?
Yes.
And it's not changing something, it's being something. See, I keep using the word change in an improper way, but it's being something. That's our topic here. And we start being comfortable with the elements, being comfortable with world conditions, being comfortable with the health of my family and friends, being comfortable with my personal health, being comfortable with my personal finances. My goodness sakes. Comfortable with my personal finances. Were you ever thinking of being comfortable with your personal finances? Did you ever think of that term, being comfortable with your personal finances? You just always said, I'm independently wealthy. I want to be rich. I'm independently wealthy. I like money. I'm independently wealthy. Hey, don't even think about it. Do the things that take money and the money is there. If you have the consciousness, do the things that take health, and health is there if you have the consciousness. All in your mind, all in your thought. Now, do you want to have a healthy consciousness? You want to have a healthy mind? You want to have all these things that are beautiful and uplifting for you? If you want them, then start working on them. Now, how do you, being comfortable with my personal finances, how do you be comfortable with personal finances? Well, what's the best way to think about a aardvark and not think about a red aardvark? The way to do it is not to think about the red aardvark in the first place, not to even mention it in the first place. The red aardvark might be no money, and the aardvarks might be money, for instance. You know. So, if you want to think about money, if you want to think about abundance, if you want to think about independently wealthy sort of stuff, then live it. Now, what's the first thing you do, and I'm not asking you this, I'm telling you, what's the first thing you do when you say, I'm independently wealthy? Do you immediately think that you have what you want? Or do you immediately think, gee, wouldn't it be fun to take all the books of the University of Healing and publish them and spread them throughout the world and put them on voice tape and put them on video and do this, that, and the other thing? Wouldn't it be great to do this? Wouldn't it be great to take all the lectures and tapes that I've made and put them on television and put them on radio and have them just overwhelming the world, all over the world, with these beautiful thoughts? And some of them are, it's crazy, but that's the wonderful thing about them. If I were independently wealthy, as I am, that's the things that I would be doing, which I'm doing. Putting these things out for everybody, just going out helter-skelter, indiscriminately, telling the world all about these beautiful things and expecting them not one whit to believe it. But my enthusiasm whets their appetite to know more about it. It's really wonderful. Really wonderful. Now think about it. Now, Anita hasn't written to us for quite a while, something of consequence. Just little chit-chats here and there, which are lovely. But today we got a nice email from her, in which she tells about a DVD she's working on with pictures of down there in New Zealand and her activities. Well, as I hear her say that on her email, and as I see her mentally doing this, I think of herself having a production studio in her home there, where she and this old man that she takes care of, Mr. Morey, running the cameras, and she is doing all these flighty, wonderful things, and she has people coming in and interviewing them on her philosophy and on her way of being. And then when she's done, she goes with Heinz and says, "Heinz, we're going to sail." And they go down to Heinz's boat, and they sail around and just have themselves a great old time, a wonderful time, right?
Yeah.
And then what do they do next? Then they go off to another project, one project after another. And Anita has so many projects going, and she never knows what she's going to do next, and everything she does is fun. Everything she does just makes her very happy, makes her very fulfilled, very uplifted, very magnificent, and that's great. Now, is she comfortable with her personal finances? Very much so. Does she have money to burn? Sure. Does she burn it? No. But does she have money to use for whatever she wants? Sure. When she wants to buy some paints, can she afford it? Sure. When she wants to have an email, when she wants to have a computer, does she have it? Sure. When she wants to make phone calls, does she have the ability to do it? Sure. Anything she wants to do, she does. When she wants her boyfriend, does she have him? Yeah. When she doesn't want him, he's not there? Sure. Anything she wants. Does she have, her father died, and then her best buddy's father died, and so they're both fatherless children, and so they love each other because of the passing of their father. But they got each got a mother. And Anita's mother is a rather charming lady doing her thing. And I'm sure that John's mother is equally charming, because I don't think that she's a wallflower. I think she's a lady that's out doing things. And she's a very powerful and a very dramatic, dynamic, and joyful woman. But you see, these are great things. Is money going to buy that? Is money going to buy any one of those things?
No.
Their father. It's John's father died. And he was a painter, among other things. And he painted pictures, pictures, pictures. The house was filled with pictures, and they didn't have room to hang them. And they got a little tired of them. And so at the funeral, they gave everyone a choice of three pictures that the senior dainty had painted as a memento of his life, you know. And so the people went through the gallery and chose three paintings each. And then the rest of them, they took down and put in boxes. Because, you know, you can only enjoy painting so much. But when Daddy was there and painting, you know, it was an active, viable thing. But now he's gone, and he's off to his next dimension. And I doubt that he's painting. I think he's doing some rather exciting thing, but not painting. So think for yourself now about your personal finances. Do you like yourself? If you like yourself, that is $1 million. Are you a friendly person? That's another $1 million. Do people like to be in your presence? Oh, that's $1 billion. You know, and we go on. Now, that's your real finances. Mm-hmm. And that finances will buy you anything. All you have to do is be a nice guy. If Ellen wanted to play her cards right, and she was in the grocery store, and she would see this woman with this child, and the child would say something interesting, Ellen would say, "What a super child you have here. What a lovely child. You certainly trained her lovely. Have you taken her on a trip to Europe recently? Have you taken her to Japan, around the world? That child deserves to have an opportunity to go around the world and learn what's going on there and get excited about it." And the lady says, "I'd love to do it, but I can't afford to take the time off my work, and I don't know anybody who would do it for me." And Ellen says, "I will. You know, I don't know you. Well, get to know me and then send me, you know. And you can find out all you want on the internet about me, you know." And okay. And so she calls Ellen up and says, "Ellen, here's $50,000 to spend on your trip around the world taking my daughter. And I want you to, and my daughter has her own $100,000. And so I want you to show my daughter an educational journey that just doesn't end. I want you to show her the pyramids. Get her to know the whole story about the pyramids, all about the da-da-da, and take her to Luxor. Take her to here and take her to there. Take her to Nigeria to see the garden capital of the world. Take her to, you know, da-da-da-da, to the Buddhist temples. Take her to India. And you say, well, you think $50,000 is going to be enough? Well, actually, Miss Jeremy, I'm giving you this credit card, which has unlimited credit to it. So you just go out and enjoy. And I'm really not worried about the pennies. Please don't you be worried about it. If you want an ice cream or anything, a steak dinner or pot de foie gras, have whatever you want, whatever lovely thing pleases your heart. And so Ellen says, hey, that's cool. Now, I would really like to make this something worthwhile for your daughter. And she goes, what do you mean? I would like to take her friends along. I would like to have maybe four or five of her friends along. Well, yes, but that's quite a handful. You'll need some help. Yeah, I thought of that. I have some friends that I'd like to take along who are just like me, who will be teaching them about the enthusiasm of learning. And it's easier to teach with a group than it is for a single person, because a single person can get up to here sometimes. But with a group, they don't get up to here. With a group, they sort of level each other off a little bit. But I'd like to teach your daughter how to swim. Teach your daughter how to ski. Teach your daughter how to sled. To what is that?
To dance.
To dance. Dance. Yeah, okay, she circles her finger around meaning dance. It sounds like a whirlpool to me. Yeah. You know? So, you see, now you say, this is fantasy. And fantasy is like that. Fantasy is like that. You know? Life is like that. There was a young man. He was working in an office. He was a janitor. And his job was to do the executive offices. And he went into the executive offices. And he did his night job. When he was there, he went to the desk of the boss. And on the desk of the boss were three giant contracts that were, you know, for large amounts of money, hundreds of millions of dollars. And they had just been signed, and they were laying there. And, you know, that's precious. So he called the boss at his home, and he said, I am the janitor, and I found these on your desk, and I don't think you'd like to have them laying around. This is what they are. The boss said, oh, my God, my secretary brought them in after I left. You know? What do I do? And he said, well, I'm happy to bring them to you, or I'll stay here and mind them until you come, you know, whatever you want me to do. He said, well, son, if you are this honest, I would trust you to put it in an envelope and bring it to me. Now, I will call the garage and tell them to have a limousine out in front to drive you to my home. And thank you very much. And by the way, what's your name? You know. So the boy takes these contracts. They don't mean a thing to him. He knows that they're tremendously important. He could use them for manipulation for the word go, but that's not his thing. He's just an honest kid. And so the driver takes him to the rich man's house, to the boss's house. And the boss says, come in. You know, doesn't say, thank you. Come in. He says, have you had your supper yet? You know, no. So eat with us. And he takes out the envelope and he looks inside at the three contracts. He says, yeah, she should have been quicker before I left, but she brought them afterwards. These are quite nice. Son, you are the kind of person that I'd like to see more of in my business. Your attitude toward life and your honesty, your integrity, I said, they're all very good. You're our janitor, one of them, you know. You have hundreds of them there in your big building. And, well, I tell you, I would like, you got a wife and family and home and stuff like that? No, I just live with my mother. Well, you take this upper bedroom here in our house here, and I want to talk to you in the morning. And so you can stay there, and There's clothing there that fits you, I'm sure, and you can go out and use the swimming pool, and you can play around and have a good time. And in the morning, I want you right here to have breakfast with me, and I want to discuss something with you, something to your benefit. And the boy says, wow, I won't be able to sleep tonight. He says, I'd do the same way if I were you. The naive honesty that you have is just beautiful. And so the kid went in the pool and did all the good things. In the morning, the boss called the kid in for breakfast, and he came down, and the boss says, now, you know, these three contracts that are now officially complete and done, they've been wired to the various offices where they're approved, are for quite a responsible thing. Now, you don't know anything about our business yet, but I have a feeling that you have the capacity for infinite things. Now, I would like it if you would not tell anybody what I'm doing with you until later, so that you have an opportunity to fit in. Now, this is my program for you, and if you can keep your mouth shut, it will be a good program. I want you to be my second in command.
What?
Yep, second in command. And I have no children. My wife died and so forth. I have no family, nobody to worry about, and nobody else I care about. My relatives, they love my money, but that's too bad. So I'm telling you this, but I don't want you to get too excited about it. I know it's hard not to be excited. I should probably just sort of wean you into it. But I want you to know right now that I have this much confidence in you. So can you play the game with me? And the boy says, I'll do my best, because I know it's worth it, you know. I'll do my best, because, wow. And the boy did. And as the years went by, the boy maintained his humility. He maintained his incredibility. He maintained his attitude of innocence and honesty and integrity. Just really a fantastic guy. And the people had no idea who he was, except that they knew that he was a person who was, I don't know what they called him, but he went around to every office and he met everybody, and everybody met him and didn't know who he was, but they met him and they knew that he belonged to the corporation, you know, and that the boss might have even said he's running some smaller corporation that we have, you know, as a kid, you know, just 20 years old, basically. And so within the next couple of years, the boy had ingratiated himself so totally in the total organization, everybody loved him. Nobody realized who he really was, but everybody loved him. They all thought he was just, you know, doing these things because he was working into the organization for the company he's working with. And then the day came, and the boss said, now, I'm going to announce to the whole staff what you're doing. And he says, you don't have to. He said, I've already got all the honors. He says, well, that's just why you're ready. And so he announced. And, of course, the boy's mother knew he was doing well, but she didn't know how well he was doing. And when she heard of the announcement, she was just beside herself. My son, you know, my son, the second in command. But you don't know, you know where your integrity and your honesty and your humility are going to bring you. They are your richest resource. They are your best personal finances you could ever have. This purity and honesty of your soul, this purity and honesty of your inner self, I tell you, if you shine that forth, if you are that, you're a magic being. You're a magic being. Now, you say, well, that's just a story you're telling about that kid. No, it isn't. You read that in Stuff. What's that little magazine? Good Stuff. In the little magazine, they have little stories about people who were a failure almost, you know, and then they turned out to be quite nice because they remained with their integrity, they remained with their dignity. They did what other people couldn't do, and they say about the Hamburger Man, you know, that he started out with nothing, you know, and he just built it up and little by little built it up and fell into fell into. Because of his integrity, because of his honesty, because of his purity, because of his goodness. He fell into these things. Now, all of his life, all you do is hear good things about him. He's got a good press, you know. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when people can have this sort of a life and this sort of an attitude. Because that is a very heavy-duty personal finance. That's very heavy-duty wealth that cannot be in any way taken from you, and you want to watch it that your integrity is never taken away from you, that you're not just into things because you want to get somewhere. The kid showed modesty. He showed humility. He didn't need to have a title. He didn't need to have these things, and this ingratiated himself to the boss even more. But he was sincere. He was really sincere. He didn't care. He had worked hard all his life. He had helped his mother after his father died and paid for everything. And they lived comfortably. They didn't spend a great deal, but they lived comfortably. And then all of a sudden, here he is on the top of the horse, high on the saddle, enjoying himself. What about you? Is there a story like this about you? Is there a story like this about you and your world? Think about it. Think about it. Now, Seville, she's a silly lady. Seville is surrounded by kings and chiefs. And they're all personal friends. People she had known in her banking business and in her other business, she knew these people, and they know her, and they respect her, and they honor her, and they love her. Seville has led a notable life, and these people have led notable lives. That's what made them kings. That's what made them the governor of their province, the governor of their county, if you will, in you have a different word for the district. You call it neighborhood?
Community.
They call them communities down there, which is a very lovely word, a very friendly word, you know. And so she's into all this stuff. She's into all these things, and what she isn't into, her husband's into. And they are both called in wherever integrity is needed. They're called in wherever a judgment is needed of a value of whether we should do this or not do this, because if we do this, this will happen, or if we do this, that will happen. And they're always called in, and they're always respected, and whatever they say is respected. And you think to yourself, well, you know, that's just Nigeria, you know. Well, Nigeria sits on the eighth largest oil well in the world. And one day they're going to be using it at a greater amount than they are now. But, hey, who knows where Seville is going to be next? Who knows? Seville is teaching positive thinking. And Seville is teaching positive thinking to her people, her friends, her neighbors, her students. And these friends and neighbors and students, they're not going to sit on their hands. They're going to take this knowledge and apply it, and they're going to become wealthy scones themselves. They'll be out with their lovely homes and their lovely families and their lovely world. And they won't forget Seville. They'll say, Seville, will you come over and run a training program for my class in Japan? I have 3,000 people in my office. Ooh-wee, how nice. And she would be paid commensurately with that. But she wouldn't worry about it. She wouldn't even make notes about it. She wouldn't do anything. She would just go there and look at that audience and speak to them from her heart. And her lectures would be the most uplifting, most inspiring, most outstanding lectures in the world, because she's speaking from her heart. If she speaks from my book or her book or anybody else's book, she's limited. Then she cannot have the stream of consciousness that is so very important. The stream of consciousness of talking and thinking and acting and doing, wow. But when you are in harmony with yourself, then it goes. Now, Ingeborg had a chance to go over to Japan and to speak to the, what's the name of that shipping line? K-Line?
K-Line.
K-Line, yeah, that's what I said. K-Line. K, like a Katarina. So the K-Line, which is quite a large corporation. And she had the opportunity to go over there. She worked as the K-Line office director in Dusseldorf, and for all of Germany and perhaps most of Europe. And she had great opportunities and responsibility, but because Ingeborg was so dedicated to her local work, she didn't take advantage of the international work that she could have. And if she could, if she did, she might have married a Japanese man, and she might have had a very lovely home and a lovely place, or with or without getting married, she might have all these beautiful things. But you see, she had opportunities. She had opportunities. And Sylvia has opportunities, too. I haven't heard of too many of them, but I'm sure that she has a lot of them that she hasn't told us about. And we know that Ellen has. Every time Ellen turns around, somebody wants to have her come and be their caretaker for their children, or caretaker for their lives, or caretaker for their world. And she says, no, you be the caretaker. I'll be the fun giver. Because that's where I'm at. But you see, this is what you want to do. Be open to the adventures. Because personal finances are not just dollars in the bank. That's good too. But they're not just dollars in the bank. Because a dollar in the bank has to be replenished. Whereas independent wealth is always there. It's always there. We read about the founder of the gold strike, the Sutter Gold Strike in California, which caused California to be one of the most rich, vital, dynamic states in the United States, and still is. And the man who started the gold rush, he never filed a claim on any of his gold. Now, surely he knew that he had to do that. But he didn't do it. He found gold everywhere he looked. And if he would have, he would have been the richest man in his world, in his time. But what happened to him? He died poor. In a claim he was digging, in a mine that he was digging. He was digging this mine, and he ran out of money, and he ran out of food, and he died. Probably starved to death. Now, did he have to do that? No. If he had, you see, to have the start, to have the genius to find it, then you have to have the genius to know what to do with it. The first thing a person does who gains wealth without being familiar with it, they hire the bank or some other responsible person to manage their money for them. And then they leave it alone. They let them handle it, and they handle it good. But every time, if it's not being handled right according to their judgment, they just say, thank you very much. I'm going to go with somebody else now. Oh, and I've been blah, blah, blah. Thank you very much. No sweat. It's your money. Money is cold. Money is not emotional. I'm not giving you the money because it's emotional. I'm not giving you the money because you have a good emotion. You have a good attitude toward it. I'm giving you the money because you know how to make it grow. Okay? And if you stop knowing how to make it grow as I think you should, then I take it and give it to somebody else. You see, this is the thing about personal finances. They have nothing to do with emotions. If you have the emotion that says you like yourself and you're in divine order, that's great. But if you have the emotion that says, I'm never wealthy, I never have money, I never have this, and then all the time you have money, what's going on? Well, you don't believe what you're saying. You don't believe what you're saying. A man who's going to be robbed, he says, I don't have any money. And so the robber takes his wallet and so forth, and a little bit in there, and says, I don't have any money. And the guy says, okay, give me your shoes now. That's where everybody hides their wallet, money in their shoes. Give me your shoes. Hey, look at all this money in the shoes. Now, give me your pants. Give me your shirt. Give me your underwear. Give me everything, And they take everything. But you see, if in your consciousness you say, I'm independently wealthy, and everything that I have belongs to me, for me to judge how to use it, and no one, you don't say this, but no one can come along and take it from you because it is not theirs to take. No one enters into your world like a thief unless you at one time in your life were a thief and you haven't come to terms with that, A lot of people were thieves and they haven't come to terms with it, but ultimately they do. And then they're robbed blind, Very interesting. Very interesting. I had a Mercedes 450 SL, drove it for a long time. Then I bought a motorhome, beautiful GMC motorhome. And it's all paid for with cash and what have you. So I had all this stuff. And then I wanted to get rid of the Mercedes because I couldn't drive both things, you know. And I was living in the motorhome. And so I said, I don't want the Mercedes anymore, you know. And so I drove the Mercedes up to northern Wisconsin, and I was telling Edith Mary, I don't want the Mercedes anymore. And then we drove in this driveway, and it was very slippery. And then we tried to get out, but then all of a sudden, an engine started between the firewall and the engine of the car, and I couldn't get to it. No way could I get to it. And I sent Edith Mary to get the fireman. And I unloaded the car and took everything out of the car. And then the entire car blew up, you know, burned up. And all the tires went pop, 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 all five of them, you know. And I got all of our sleeping bags out and all of our things out and the dogs out and what have you. But I had said, I don't want the car anymore. I want to sell it. I want to get rid of it. So, poof, off she went, you know. And no problems. But isn't it something when we speak our word? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I spoke my word. I wanted that motorhome. And they said, they don't make them. And I said, oh, yes, they do. There's one that's coming off the line right now just for me. It's the last one they made. And it came off the line just for me, and it came to me, and it was mine. And I drove it for years and enjoyed it thoroughly. But you see, that's the beauty of something like that. When you speak your word, your abundance is there. When you speak your word, your good is there. It's a magical thing and a wonderful thing. Being comfortable with my personal finances, that's the name of the game. Now, you enjoy your personal finances. You enjoy being comfortable with them. And spend, spend, spend.
It's going down. It's going down.
Okay.
I can't miss you.
have a good day. And know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.